podcast for Schlubs by Schlubs, a podcast about movies and video games and everything schlubby. And welcome back to the video game corner of the Schlubcast. I'm Danny.
What up, guys? My name is Mike.
It's Zach.
The Zach, only one.
And we're back again. We're checking in since our last episode where we gave each other our obligatory list of video games to play this year. And we decided that a lot of news has happened. We've played a lot of games. We wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And especially because I'm also been trying to my best to carve away at my list. I want to get it done as soon as I can.
Really?
Because I feel like the end of the year is just a lot of stuff's going to come out and I'm going to have way too much. I don't want to go for that crunch time. I want to get it done so I'm okay. Not crunching at the end of the year. I'd rather crunch early than crunch late.
See, for me, I'm the opposite. I wanted to hold off because I know Devil May Cry was coming out.
Oh,
and I knew that was going to consume a lot of my time.
See, and like what I keep telling you guys, this past month and of the future, like the next half month, I was supposed to have games to play by now that I've been looking forward to for
years.
But
they got delayed.
Anno and Total War, the Three Kingdoms thing. So
Ripper, you know.
Those aren't coming out till April and May, so I've had plenty of time. So I'm like, well, might as well break into my list and see what I can do.
Nice.
But what has happened in the meantime since we've had our last episode? The Nintendo Direct took place?
Yeah, it was about a month ago.
Timely report on the Nintendo Direct. Did you hear about it?
No. We would have had a timely report on it if I didn't go to Canada. Yeah, not that I'm blaming Canada or myself for that trip because that was great. But
you abandoned us for the greater America.
It's true.
But you're back. You're back.
I'm back.
You've survived the Great White North.
It was warmer than it was where we are now.
And you are enlightened.
Sounds about right.
But, so time constraints and random scheduling problems, but we're back in Nintendo Direct. I mean, there was a lot in it. Not a lot of it pertained to us, but I guess we just want to highlight what from that Direct we liked the most. I know I liked the Super Mario Maker 2, because I liked the first one a lot.
I didn't get the first one. I was with you guys, because you made your own things, but like, I'm going to be super into this one. I know I am.
I'm excited for that. And I've just from the views of it or the little snapshot they showed, it seems, you know, just like a more polished version. And I wonder how it's going to work with the touch on the Switch, because I wonder how easy it's going to be to build if you're on docked mode, like how you can do with controllers, because Wii U pad made it really easy. There's a lot of like consensus of people saying that they wish there was like an overworld you could build, like in Mario World.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
That would be nuts.
That would make me super happy.
Like make a campaign
make a
thing.
Family friendly.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. But otherwise, it does look cool, and I'll totally pick that up. Which they said was like June, I think, early summer,
something like that.
So that's cool.
Other than that, there was a Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which I know that like I don't know if that strikes any chords with us, but like I feel like that was kind of.
I used to love those games.
I loved the first.
I'll probably
game.
Play it.
I played the first game so much on PS2.
It looks pretty interesting. If you're really into Marvel, that's up for you.
There was Fire Emblem.
There was Fire Emblem.
Which I know that we're fans of. I don't know. I forget what
I'm
you are.
I'm a fan of it.
I played one.
I don't like the way this one's going.
You don't like it?
I know. My first impressions of just like seeing what we've seen so far, I'm not feeling too hot for it.
See, it's cool. We have different perspectives because you are a Fire Emblem fan where you've played
I've played most of them. I've played a few that haven't made to America. I played 6, which is like the one that had Roy in it that hasn't made to America yet by some strange imagination. Like, that's the thing. Small little tangent. They remade the first one. Then they remade the second one.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like the hardcore fan favorite. But like, it would have made a lot more sense if they're gonna start like with the Fire Emblem like remakes that where they retell like the old games. Why wouldn't they remake Roy's story? Like, it made no sense.
Roy only exists to us in Smash.
Yeah, like, that's it.
That's it. That's all our only experience.
I really want them to do a remake and, like a retuning of Roy's story, because it's a pretty cool story, actually. But
you've
we'll never
those,
know.
We'll never know what it actually is. But you play those old ones, so you have this perspective of how it's changed over the years, while I've only played Awakening, and I loved that game. So I'm just... And I didn't give Fates a shot just because I didn't like how they split it into a bunch of little different games.
Yeah.
Just one solid game. They like Pokemon'd it for some reason.
Yeah.
Which that's a game. I don't know.
I mean, they Pokemon'd it, but there's actually a reason to get like the different games other than like, oh, like, because like, there was like different like storytelling. There was like, and like, there was like different intentions with each one. Mm-hmm. So like, Fates was like split between Birthright, Conquest, and Revelations. Mm. Birthright was the one that showed like the weeaboo Japanese style.
Yeah,
but and like that one was intended to be more towards like the casual audience because like every map was just like clear out the enemy units and then you're done. Whereas like Conquest was supposed to be more towards like the more difficult and like high like hardcore fan base, which is like which actually had like objectives that were like you actually can't win this fight, you have to escape, or you have to like you have to. Claim this certain mm-hmm. spot on the map before the enemy does something mm-hmm. stuff like that.
So why not just like make it all one game though? That was my biggest gripe with it.
No, you're right, because they kind of did, because like I ended up buying the limited edition mm-hmm. like the collector's edition whatever, and with it came a cartridge with all three installed. So oh. it could have been done. They yeah. absolutely could have. They just chose not to, which kind of like that is what it is. Anyways, so yeah, I'm with the new one. I'm not too fond of the art style. I feel like you can say what you want about the Persona art style. I think it does look nice. I just feel like it doesn't belong in a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah, see, I'm just
I didn't even know that the art style was different.
No, I don't know because I only know Awakening, and so that's right. the one thing I like. And so I see more Fire Emblem, I'm excited just to have anything new.
You're used to. I think it's Yoshiaki Nozaki. I think his name is he did Awakening, Fates, and bits of Fire Emblem Heroes. Mm.
That's what I'm used to. So
it's his art style.
Yeah, and I liked the art style for Awakening, and this one seems a little bit more.
As like a long term hardcore fan of Fire Emblem, I am pretty okay with the newer ones. There's a big divide between like the old Fire Emblem and the new Fire Emblem fans. Mm. I'm kind of like I'm pretty okay with both. They both kind of scratch like different itches, which is really nice. I feel like I'm glad that it has like evolved to like fit more broad of an audience, because I kind of fit in all that broad audience. Mm-hmm. Like, but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like I just needed to see more actual gameplay.
Yeah, they gave us a really quick like 8 minute thing of it, so
Within those 8 minutes, they probably only showed like one singular minute of like what it's like to actually be in a battle. The other 7 minutes were what happened inside the school.
Everything, yeah,
and like how you like raise your characters. I'm like, this is weird. Like, this is just like a school. This is like a school anime.
Yeah, which I don't know. I'm kind of into it because I like the whole character. Like, that was my favorite part of Awakening. The characters.
See, I like the characters, but
the combat was cool. But then they didn't show the combat in this, so it's hard to say what the combat's
like. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm afraid that like the characters are going to start outweighing the combat.
Yeah, it's possible.
And I'm kind of really worried about that.
But
I'm about the characters too. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I love the characters, but like, and I love the individual development, like through like the support conversations that mm-hmm. you can have. But like, this is just too much. Like, I think there's just so much downtime, it looks like, in between actually fighting.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know too much. We just got like the hub of it, which it could just be a hub, and then there's probably a lot of stuff going on.
I hope so.
What I got from it is just like the school is the center, and then every mission is just you going out and fighting people, and then it comes back, and there's some that like instead of support conversations, it's just like, hey, here's a school.
I already don't like the story at all.
See, I don't know. I guess that's why it's interesting, because you know what the old games were like.
Not even that. It's just like, it's just one, super cliche and tropey, and mm-hmm. two, it's like, oh, how convenient. We have the heirs to all three of these nations in one convenient location under this one strange church that we all just kind of blindly follow. Yeah, I can't see this ever going wrong.
Yeah, I mean, but to be fair, Awakening didn't have the greatest of stories either.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it did.
This just seems par for the course.
If you thought Awakening was bad, don't play Fates.
Okay.
They don't even name the continent in which you play.
So it's like the story never seems like a greatly told one, because it always seems really tropey, where it's always like prince who's like challenged, and then there's the big bad evil, and then you got to overcome, and because someone they knew died in their family, right. or that it's like time to overcome my past and then go beat the villain. So it's like, I'm not into it for that. I'm interested in. I'm cautiously optimistic for the game.
I want it to be good, but like right now, it's just like everything I've seen so far has just kind of been like pushing me away. Is all I'm saying.
I'm excited that there's a faction called Fargus.
Fargus.
That's why I'm playing the game.
I like how silly it can be. I guess I'm just not gonna taking it very seriously.
I hail from it's House like, Fargus.
Like I think I'm probably gonna end up getting the game, but I won't be trying to stretch my money out for the limited edition.
He's gonna get it. No. He's gonna get it, but he ain't gonna like it.
No, I'm gonna try and stay open to it because I'm a Fire Emblem fan. I don't want to like it, but it might be from what I've seen so far, it might be stretching a bit too far out of what I kind of want. To have in my Fire Emblem game. If I wanted to play Persona, I'd play Persona.
Yeah, so, true.
Fair.
True. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what more we can learn about it.
We'll see what happens. Doesn't it come out on my birthday?
No. They don't have a release date.
No, they do, I think.
They said the summer at some point.
Did they? I thought they said it was just after spring. I thought it was in June.
No, I think they... Didn't they push it back?
Well, originally it was supposed to be spring of 2019, but then we had no word of it at all until the direct.
Sorry, guys. We actually forgot about it, and we're getting back to it right now.
Quick search shows that initial release date for Fire Emblem Three Houses will be July 26, 2019.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have plenty of time. Hopefully they'll show more, and then we can
know more about it. I hope so. I'm hoping so.
The one last thing that interests me the most in the Nintendo Direct was the Link's Awakening.
Yes,
remake on the Switch, which I really liked the original one, which I guess I didn't even play the original because it came out on Game Boy and then they remade it for Color DX. That's the one I played.
Yep.
That was one of the first Zelda games I ever played, and that Very was really cool. fun. And I'm excited. It's just the art style looks really nice.
It looks so inviting and very, very cozy.
And it seems like such a loyal recreation of it, or it seems just like one-to-one, just nicer and... More modern graphics.
Same game, just looks better.
That'll be fun to play. I wasn't expecting that. I wanted to get another Zelda game this year because I didn't think one was coming, but now there it is. I'm going to get it.
At least it's a remake, not a new mainline. I'm sure it took a long time for them to rebuild the assets for it, but in terms of having to storyboard everything, I'm sure that it was a very easy, easy in quotes, game to build.
Simpler.
Yeah. Tetris 99.
Yeah,
I've been grinding at it, but I've been enjoying it a lot. Whenever I just want to clear some blocks, I go there.
See, that made me the most
clear some lines.
The most tempted to actually get the Nintendo Online.
Oh, really?
Since the online has been released, I still haven't gotten it because I feel like I still need something else. Which I know what that something else is. I want Super Nintendo games.
Yes.
To be able to play.
They need to expand much faster on the. Virtual console thing that they're doing, because they're doing what, 2 NES games a month?
Yeah,
which I feel like that's such a chokehold. That's such a it's a drip, and where it should be more of a flow.
And most of them aren't even really great.
No,
we're remembering that maybe the late 80s weren't that good.
There's not many good NES games.
Most recent ones
all.
Were it was Kid Icarus and Star Tropics.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
And it's great! God. Everyone can finally know how bad the original Kid Icarus really was. How unplayable that piece of garbage game actually is.
It just seems mostly for nostalgia because that's just the NES just feels like a nostalgia console where there's some of the greatest hits that led into better games.
Yeah,
but the SNES is where games just
Mario
be really high quality.
I mean, honestly, Mario Bros. 3. It's kind of the best thing that NES has to offer, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Everything else is just kind of you're there for nostalgia. Nothing else is considered a good game. I should say
I do like Dr. Mario on that because I love Dr. Mario.
I thought that was on Game Boy. Was Dr. Mario on NES?
Yeah, it's on there.
I think so. Or at least it's on that
it's
emulator.
On there.
Oh, you're
it's
right.
On the online thing.
You're
so
right, you're right.
It must
it
have
is.
Been. But I don't know. I'm waiting for more. And I thought Tetris would be one that I would be completely down to. Just get online for it, because I finally tried it the other day, and I like it. I just can't stand the control scheme, and I wish you could change it. I don't think I actually want to play it anymore now that I've tried it, and I know the control scheme is rigid to just how they already have it in the game, and you can't move anything around, because I'm just used to keyboard, I guess, so much that I can't even function with one hand doing everything. See, that's probably just me being bad. I'm mad because bad, but still, I don't know. It seems it is a great game, but it can't be for me because the controls are too weird.
For me, it's not the controls that are bad. It's the controllers.
The controllers definitely. Because
what was it yesterday? I was actually watching a Tetris 99 stream. I was watching Wombotize play because he's a god. And I was I really want to play now. And so I actually looked up that Tetris with Friends that you told me about. Mm. I couldn't wrap my head around those controls, so props to you for learning that.
Yeah.
But then after that, I was like, oh, wait, I have Puyo Puyo Tetris, and I could just go into Marathon and just zen out. And I did, and I had my PS4 controller, and I was like, this feels so good. Mm. Like, I don't understand why it has to be this way.
Yeah, it's highlighting that the controllers they have for the Switch are good for, like, mainline Nintendo games, but not great for a lot of other games.
For, like, articulate inputs, which are very required for Tetris.
Which, I mean, it's fine for them because, I mean, they're just making Nintendo games.
Yeah, but, exactly. Like, it works in literally every game that isn't Tetris.
Yeah, it doesn't translate very well otherwise. Which is sad because I do think the Pro Controller is a very good controller.
It is.
For Nintendo games.
For everything else but Tetris.
Yeah. But it's a really cool concept, Tetris 99. I really enjoy the idea of it. I'm sad about it.
I think it has to at one point come to PC.
I would play that forever until I die.
I mean, like, I feel like it would make sense for them to branch out with that one. Because, like, why not? Like, it's a battle royale. Like, the point of a battle royale is to cash in and get on as many consoles as you can. That's the thing, though, is I don't know how they're making any revenue on this game.
I don't know.
There's no in-game purchases.
That makes me think that maybe they will.
Like, further down the line.
Yeah, because, like, Nintendo must have paid a huge amount just to license it.
Just
to
get
only
there.
For that,
It's only exclusive for, like, a couple months or whatever.
They already had... They had a... Like an in-game tournament of sorts called like the Maximus Cup or something like that, where it's like whoever had the most like Victory Royale wins by the end of like a 2-day span got like $10 worth of eShop points. Basically.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure Wombatize won that one, but nice. I don't think it was like the one person. It was like the top 100 people do it or whatever, something like that. But I don't know. I want them to. To go on more than the Switch, which sucks because like I enjoy turning my Switch on to play Tetris 99. I just wish I had better options for controllers.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's not even for the keyboard, just the option to like have any other type of controller or change
and, like,
buttons a little
bit. Apparently like there's a way I can get an adapter that let me play my PS4 controller on my Switch.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
I feel like I don't want to like invest that much into Tetris 99. like am I really going to like buy an adapter for just one game?
Yes.
Just go pro, Mike. Just go pro. But I think that was it for the Nintendo Direct. I don't know what else there really was.
There was that Astral Chain game that Platinum was making, which we spoke about briefly before playing this or before recording this, where it's like, it looks very anime, but also kind of cool at the same time. Like, it looks like it's very very buddy cop, but also kind of mixed with like Power Rangers and like a lot of like a Kamen Rider kind of stuff. So if you're into that kind of style of stuff, good for you. Is it for the general Western audience, though?
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed like a lot of it. Although, I mean, I would say largely most of the stuff that they showed that wasn't what I mentioned, I kind of, my eyes glazed over because it just seemed a little too anime. Although, Final Fantasy IX, which I've been, like, curiously into ever since I saw, like, the beginning of a speedrun of someone playing it, I'm like, I kind of want to play this game now. I'm really enticed to pick it up on Switch and actually play through it.
I remember seeing an article that apparently all like the bugs and glitches that were on the PC version of Final Fantasy IX are also in the Switch version.
Oh, that's good.
So,
I'll look forward to that.
pick your poison on that one.
Damn.
But the only thing is on the PC version, there might be like fan fixes. So, well, do a little bit of research, see how you feel about it.
Just in general, I guess I'll find a way to play that game.
Yeah.
Maybe not on Switch, but I don't know.
We'll find out when we get there.
Before we get into some of the games we've been playing, there was another piece of news that struck home for us.
So now that we're done with the month-old news, we can get to the merely like three-day-old news.
Yeah.
Halo Master Chief Collection coming to PC.
Yeah.
Huge announcement.
Huge.
Everyone's been expecting it. It's been kind of like dangerously on the tip of everyone's tongue. No one wanted to say it out loud that it was confirmed, but...
Wasn't this rumored ever since the whole like El Dorito thing?
When Halo Online El Dorito, as it is a colloquially named, when that kind of got like this like a weird like shadow ban esque treatment where like Microsoft said, hey, you can't do that. We're not going to shut down your system, but you can't freely distribute this like this product anymore. Like at least not as like a service. Like people are off. It's already on the internet. It's gonna trade hands regardless. If you want it, you can find it.
So everyone's like, well, this must mean that yeah, they are doing their own thing that they don't want to compete with.
After they did like the whole like shadow banning thing, 343 did make a big statement. That's like, we're working really hard to please all of the PC fans, and like a lot of the people who were ticked at the time were like, oh, they're just talking about Halo Infinite. They're not going to do anything for us now. Like, they don't really understand that we want Halo 3 for PC, or any Halo for PC at this point.
What about Halo 2?
I mean, no, people love Halo 2 though. Like,
that's what I'm saying. They're just like, you want Halo 3, but we're going to give you Halo 2 as well.
And also 1 if you really want that. But, some people really do. Some people love playing long-distance pistol games and nonsense. I don't know. Halo 1 multiplayer was a bit rough, if you ask me.
But lo and behold, all of them, the entire collection.
Everything here up until... Well, technically 5 is on PC as well, but you have to buy that separately. And no, thank you.
But they're all there, and that seems cool. Because I've never played any of the Halo games.
No, Halo 5 isn't on PC yet. It's just the Forge mode that's on PC, which is very strange.
True. That is weird.
And it's like you can technically play online with it, but like there's no server support, so there's no matchmaking. You have to like go to like online forums and stuff to like make matchmaking lobbies and then go from there. Mm. Which is like it's so much more effort than it's ever going to be worth. And I'm pretty sure the community for it is dead. But.
Yeah, so Anyways, here it is. Master Chief Collection.
Very excited. I'm pretty sure every single one of our friends is excited to this to some extent. Like those who have played and those who have not.
See, I just want to play through the games because I never owned an Xbox when I was growing up, and then I had a 360 at the end of the 360's life. I never picked up any Halo games on it, so I don't even know what the story is even about. I know Master Chief is in it, and he says, "I need a gun," at some point in the game, and then. I just want to play through the story. And then I did play, like, multiplayer, like, with friends during high school. Like, I played a lot of Halo 2 and Halo 3 multiplayer, just, like, local co-op and just deathmatch stuff. And it'll be cool to try to play that again, especially on a PC.
I'm looking forward to doing some campaign co-op with you, with everybody.
I am excited.
Especially because, like, I want to say Halo 1 and 2 only have two-player co-ops. But I think
three, four.
Three has four-player co-ops.
So you just play as, like, normal-ass soldiers.
Yeah, it's like you play as, like, Master Chief as player one, player two is Arbiter, and then, like, three and four are just random elites that are just there.
It's pretty cool. And it's neat that they did that. And I hope this means that maybe they're willing to work more with just PC in general. Like,
I hope so.
Those guys, that studio directly, or maybe just Microsoft. Because Microsoft's been doing that a lot, where a lot of their new releases...
are also coming to PC.
Yeah, with the Microsoft Store. But
Now it's on Steam.
Now it's on Steam.
Big deal.
That's a huge deal. Especially because of the whole Epic Games thing where they're like claiming all this exclusivity, and then suddenly one of the biggest games in the history of games is
Steam.
Just
hey guys, I got Halo now. Shit.
Yeah.
So maybe more people will come to Steam because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with competition.
Right.
But... there's a lot of wrong ways that I feel like Epic Games is going about it. So it's funny that Steam can just say, well, here's this instead. Please come back.
Yeah.
We have Halo. What more do you want?
So, Halo. Looking forward to it.
I'm waiting for
it. It's going to be fun.
All right. So we've been playing a lot of games these past 2 months.
Games. Video games.
And like I said earlier, I've been diving into my obligatory games. And so one of the games on my list that Zach told me to play was Dying Light. And following a suit with me questioning a game that Zach likes for some reason, and I'm like, that game must be bad. Just like with The Messenger, apparently.
How could he possibly like this?
Because I'm a horrible person. No, because when Dying Light came out, I assumed it was like Dead Island
game.
For some reason.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Dead Island, where it's just like fast-moving, first-person, punch a zombie, and then Dead Island was like panned critically. Mm. Like, no one liked that game. So when Dying Light came out, I'm like... yeah, it looks cool, but no thanks, because it's a zombie game. Well, having finally played it, the game is amazing. It's crazy how the game is better than it should be, than it has any right to be. Mostly because the way you maneuver through the world and the combat is really, really good. Like, the parkour running on, like, rooftops and jumping over, like, power lines and scrambling up walls and jumping off zombies and drop kicking zombies off of roofs is so fun and so fast paced, and it always works and it always feels right that it just carries the game. The story is dumb and it who cares, because the gameplay, I kept coming back to the game, not because of the story, which is usually what brings me back to games. I just wanted to sit down and like run around the rooftops.
Have that visceral feeling of
it was so fun. And like, it was so surprising how taken in with that game I was with just being able to run off rooftops. And then the progression of it as you get better at parkouring across the roofs, it just, it's like, oh, now I can climb faster and I can do this cool, like, jump mechanic off of a wall. I'm like, now, and then there's a grappling hook. Like, now I have to play this game for another, like, 10 hours. And it was really, really fun.
Have you ever played Mirror's Edge?
No. Okay. Now I'm interested to try that because the whole parkour thing.
That game's just all parkour.
Yeah, it is the very basis of the game. And, like, literally, like, it's not the only thing you can do, but, like, combat is very discouraged. Like, you can like, trick a guard out and, like, juke his gun away and take his gun, but, like, it's not suggested that you stay and fight. It's suggested that you just take the gun to disarm him and then run in the opposite direction.
It's similar in Dying Light where you're not... It's never encouraged for you to fight more than one zombie because they can overwhelm you really fast. Mm-hmm. And I like that in this game where you never feel overpowered combat-wise unless you get a gun, which I did feel overpowered towards the end because I had somehow I got a really good gun really early.
Small arsenal.
Yeah, so whenever I like got in a pinch, I was just like headshotting everybody and then running away. So that kind of deflated it a little bit. But like the only time you feel overpowered is how you go around the world. Like, you can escape really easily, but if you ever, like, get in between two or three zombies, they will just wreck you and hit you for, like, 50 damage each, and you die really fast to zombies. And so that made it really interesting. It never stops feeling exciting when you're like, I've run out of rooftops, and I need to go on the streets now. I need to get as high as I can, because if one of these zombies touches me, then the other ones are going to get me. It's
borderline game over.
Yeah, and I loved that. It was always, it never felt boring, where I'm like, oh, it's just a zombie, I'll just run away. It's like, no, I got to actually think about everything I'm doing. And it was cool.
Yeah, because then you really can attract more, like, hordes of zombies.
Yeah, the louder you are, the more zombies show up, and then the fast zombies start hunting you down, and it was great. It was a great game.
Yeah, I'm excited for the second one.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
I didn't think I was going to be excited for that when they announced it at E3.
Come out soon, I think.
Yeah, next couple of months, but... Now I am excited for that, because apparently they're doing something more with the story, too. It's more like a branching RPG style, but yeah, like I just want to go back to the world with more mechanics of the parkour and everything. It was so fun.
Just drop kicking zombies is... That was my favorite thing to do.
Like, run full tilt at a zombie, and then you get the upgraded drop kick where now they're flying like 50 feet. and then when you meet the other people who have guns, like... Eventually you get like a stealth kill. I never used it because you could always run just fast enough where they can't react in time, and I drop kick them off like a 5-story building, and I'm like, I'm the stealthiest man on the face of this planet because I can drop kick everybody at like 15 mile an hour running. It's a silly, hilarious game. Yeah, that's just fun. Really
all, making all the combinations of different melee weapons is really fun. You're like, oh, I have a bat. I'm going to put a saw blade on it. Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to put a battery on it, so now it does electrical damage. And then I'm going to put a little flamethrower on it, too.
And the progression of the better weapons you find during the game, where it's like you're always finding better like weapons as you go through the missions. It's like I was always just swapping out. Like, I have a sword that's doing like 200 damage, and I find like a 300 damage one. Like, okay, I just throw that at a zombie. It's kind of like Zelda. And I pick up this new one, and I'm ready to go for the next like 5 hits because they break. But, man, it was really, really fun.
Oh, Dying Light ripped off Zelda. I can't believe it.
It was before Zelda.
I know. Anyways, but, I was gonna say, is it on PC?
Yeah, that's how I played it.
Usually it's on sale a lot, too, because the new one's coming.
I'll keep an eye out. I picked it up for like $15.
I'll keep an eye out for it.
And the one last thing I want to say about it is like how the climbing mechanic in it, where you just look at where you want to go and you hold down space. It's so simple, but there's a little bit more thinking than just like Assassin's Creed, where you press R1 to parkour and then
he just never takes care of everything.
You can just fall asleep for like 20 minutes and now you're on like the top of some cathedral.
Massive, yeah.
In this, it's like when you jump, everything just feels a little out of reach, but then it grabs at the last second because wherever you're looking, your character grabs onto. And it's surprising how much you can grab onto in the game, like more than you would think. Mm. And when you surprise yourself, it's like, wow, I actually was able to grab onto this ledge, which kind of looks like it was just like a matte painting, but there actually was like some like grip hold to grab onto. That made the game so much better. And then going from that to like Apex was like really jarring. Because I'm like, I want to climb everything possible, but I can't. Because it's really fun.
For what Apex is, I feel like they have a pretty
Apex
solid climber
system.
Oh, totally.
I like the music in that game, too.
Dying Light?
Yeah.
Yeah. When things start getting intense. And it has really good dynamic score for that when things go nuts.
Like, I like the music when you're in like the second area with all those like Greek looking houses or whatever. Oh,
and the ravines and stuff. Yeah, it was definitely one of the most surprising games I've played, because I was expecting just like an okay zombie game, and I got a really really fun like open probably world the best exploration one. Game. Totally, I would actually say this is one of the greatest zombie games.
Really, yeah.
It's like it's
that's really pretty good. Cool.
It's
that's
pure schlock like B story B movie storyline,
which is all you can really get to nowadays with zombies.
Yeah, especially with zombies, you know. It's just
but like... gameplay, it's like top of the line. Like, I want every zombie open world game to be like this.
It's fun.
It's surprising.
It came out during the time when parkour was like a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kind of just capitalized on it. So yeah, good on them for that.
When did this game even come out? Like, it 16?
Came out when Bloodborne came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2016.
Wow. So me, you know, keeping up with all the new releases, cutting edge here.
Yeah, good job, Danny.
But now I'm breaking through my list. That's one down for me.
I did one too, and I'm working on the second one.
Well, you want to talk about that one that you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much to talk about. So I played Iconoclast on my Switch.
That was my suggestion.
Yeah, nice. Mike suggested me to play it, and I needed a new Switch game, so I got it because it was like $20. It was good. I mean,
what is that game again? Describe it, because I actually don't know.
It's hard.
Wrench girl.
Yeah, you're wrench.
your confused look is lost upon the masses. That
now I know what you mean. It's like it's a platformer, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's okay, it's
you fix things.
It reminded me a lot of
a giant wrench. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Owl Boy. In that sense, where it's like a 2D side scroller,
yeah, in the artistic direction, it's very all boy.
Yeah, the pixel art and everything was really nice. The story was really it was kind of confusing at times, because like I couldn't tell if it was kind of like not super serious, but then there was times where like it did get serious. But like everything looked all cartoony, so I was like, I don't know what's happening.
You got some conflicting themes here.
Like the most confusing part about the game is like the story talks about like it's a huge like the game is a very huge like religious, not like real religion, but like everything the whole world is like shaped by like three or four different types of religions, and it's just like everyone's fighting between another because they want their religion is they think their religion is real, and they're like, no, our religion's real, blah blah blah. So the story gets a little confusing. The gameplay is fun. It's smooth. There's a lot of cool puzzles in it. They're kind of challenging. The game does a good job of not like explaining every little puzzle to you clearly, so you kind of have to think about it. Nice. All the boss fights in the game are really fun and like original. I had fun with the boss fights. Like I was telling Mike the other day, where pretty much every boss fight I like got my ass whooped the first time, but then like it does a good job of teaching you, like, oh, okay, I did this, and this showed this weakness, so now I can kind of, I know what I'm kind of doing, so. The boss fights were fun. The game was, like, 10 hours. But, like, again, with the story, like, this, I felt like the story dragged on so much, where there were, like, multiple times where I'm like, okay, I think this is the last part of the game. And then it just kept going. I'm like, I wish that was the last part of the game.
Isn't that a weird feeling with games where, like, they reach a natural ending?
Yeah, and you think like, you're done, so then you're, like, you know, preparing for the game to be done, and then it keeps going, it's just like, ugh, I wish it was kind of done, though.
Yeah. Like, there are some games that do that right, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, with...
First one that comes to my mind is Bayonetta.
Yeah, like Bayonetta.
When you think that she just like ends up like falling out,
mm-hmm.
and then like it's like nope, here comes Jean on the motorcycle, and then you just control a giant witch goddess and you punch someone into the sun.
Then the music starts up. You're like, oh fuck, I'm back in. No, but it was a good game. I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 10.
Nice. It's always a weird moment when like you're playing a game and you start getting that feeling. It's like, I just can't wait for this game to be done.
Yeah.
It's always a weird time for me.
I want that rising fall.
Yeah.
I want the rising like action. The climax. I forgot what that's called, like the declining action or whatever.
The denouement.
Sure.
Yeah.
whatever, you French bastard.
But yeah, I mean, it was an entertaining game. It was fun.
Yeah, whenever that happens to me, I'm always conflicted. It's like, if I'm no longer having fun, I just want to finish this. I want this game to be done. Should I just stop playing?
But then I'm like, no, I need to finish this, though. Yeah, I need to see this through.
Yeah. Well, all right, so here's how I end up trying to rate things a lot. How much did you pay for the...
20.
20? Do you feel like you got your money's worth?
Yes. Yeah, for $20, yes. It's... Because, I mean, like I said, it's long enough to where... Like, this, it's weird though, because like, I paid $20 to play this game, and I played it for a while, and I beat it and everything. But then I played $15 for Gris, mm-hmm. and I beat it in like 3 hours. But those that, 3 hours were amazing.
It was such an impactful experience. Yeah. That, yeah, because you can try to justify things by hours put into something, mm-hmm. but like if you're not enjoying those hours, yeah. then like
for the most part, I enjoyed it. Like there were some parts in the game where I'm just like, screw this, I need to. This is really annoying. And I just like want to
get past this part. Yeah, yeah.
But. For okay. the most part, I enjoyed it. It just wasn't... It's not like... This is one of the best games I played this year yet, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Very nice. See? Working through our list.
Still an interesting game to play.
Apart from the list, there's a game that you guys have both been playing that has been a huge release, I guess. Which is another game that I'm not a part of here, so by all means,
it's a huge release in terms of its own franchise, so yeah. That's Devil May Cry 5. Big expectations for me, and having beat the game, I'd say for the most part they reached it. I feel like they left it on such a weird cliffhanger that they're going to release yeah. a DLC for it.
Either that, or they're just going to make a whole new one.
Could be, but like there's a very big unanswered question at the end at the ending. That's like, okay, this is done on purpose.
Oh yeah.
I kind of don't like how they did this, but it is.
It was kind of weird. Can we talk about spoilers?
I don't want to because the game is pretty recent.
Yeah, let's wait a bit. And we can revisit.
All right.
But
yeah. for now, in terms of gameplay and like general game function, boy, did they do it.
Oh, yeah. That game felt great.
Like,
it was just fast enough, and
mm-hmm. like,
the mobility was good.
I can't believe how well. Like, I thought DMC4, Devil May Cry 4, was peak Dante. Like, you know, like the way Dante felt, and like the weapons he had, the options and maneuvers he had, was like, that was it. Like, there's no way they can build on top of this. And then they did. They dang well did.
See, I felt Devil May Cry 4, like, at least with Nero, he felt so slow.
Nero felt slow, and he felt like he didn't have that many options.
Like, yeah, like, just running. And even in, I mean, if it wasn't for his demon bracer thing.
Yeah, the Devil Bringer, yeah.
He would have been felt, a boring character. Yeah, he would have just been, you know, because, like, I still, with Nero, like, his rev sword is cool. But, like, I just found myself, like, never really using it unless you buy the super expensive move that gets it to level 3 after you click the right trigger yeah. or whatever.
I mean, like, the thing is, like, on harder difficulties, you need to rely on the faster sword swings because they get damage out faster and they generate more style faster.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the big thing is that they added so many new of the Devil Breakers.
Yeah, there was a lot of them, which was cool.
Really nice, and they all serve like yeah, like clear cut different unique. Functions. Like, yeah. there wasn't like one or two Devil Bringers that like served the same purpose, yeah. and like one was just clearly better than the other. It was like everything had like a different function and like a different purpose to it. It felt really cool. I was a big fan of that system because it made Nero felt very dynamic.
Yeah, it was more fun to play him because it's like, okay, I'm gonna use this one, and you just do cool stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot.
I love the God, what was it the Buster one, the little claw one that just does finishers on them.
Oh,
that
one was kind great. Of similar how the Devilbringer was. Yeah. I like that one too. I'm a big fan of the Gerbera, which is like the momentum one that you use like the shock blast to basically you make a giant explosion, then you just move off of that explosion in a certain direction. That one and the
whip one.
The whip one's cool. I like the Tomboy.
Oh yeah,
which overdrive your
yeah,
gun.
Yeah, that
gun
one is great. I use
like,
that one all
you're just
time.
Here, you're with this like giant magnum revolver, and then like you just like slap like a firework on top of it, and you're just like,
yeah, that was fun.
It's pretty cool. I liked it.
V was great.
He's
definitely the easiest to use
for a brand new character. I did like V. I feel like it's weird because like. The game promotes you to be very aggressive and very, like, on the fly, whereas V controls very defensively. Because, like, the way... So, I don't know if you follow the game at all, but, like, V is a character where he actually doesn't do any combat on his own. He has, like, these three summonable creatures. He has, like a panther, a cockatrice, like, phoenix-type thing, and, like, a giant, like, golem.
Hmm.
The panther does like the most of like the melee attacks, and like the bird does like all of the long range attacks, and you try and like you mix those two, and you control each other more or less separately. So it's like the X button goes to the bird, he controls like the projectiles. Y goes to the panther. He does like the short range claws and whatnot, and then you use your Devil Trigger, which is like your meter, to bring down your giant golem. He comets down and just makes a giant explosion. Then he just like starts like rumbling through the area. It's pretty cool.
So where are you when you're doing it? When
you're just kind of hanging back, you're a character who has to hang back and try to avoid being hit.
Oh, interesting. That sounds neat.
Because you're ultimately defenselessly, but like the trick is that since you don't do any damage. You're the only one who can kill things. Your summonable pets don't actually do the killing. They can't land the final blow.
Yeah. Whoa. So he comes in with just Kane and just like stabs.
So
a lot of jumping in and out of combat.
That sounds really neat.
It's a good dynamic from that game at least.
Yeah, it's like so like your pets do the damage, and when they like the enemy will turn like this like ashy white, and like their health bar will turn into this like orange looking wire looking deal. You can teleport in and like smash them with your cane. You stab them, like do these like, execution moves with your cane, and then you have to like dip out and get out.
Interesting.
It's fun.
Very cool. Like very cool aspects, but like sometimes it doesn't control how I want it to control. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, I found like a lot of times like the Panther at least would like I like
just kind of did what it wanted.
No, yeah, like, it just like he just like and it wasn't just with him. I've noticed it too with Dante and Nero. Like. Their when you do like their forward Y where it does like their like dash.
I found
myself like to how I was mashing buttons and moving my stick like trying to move around. They just kept doing it and it kept hitting the enemy back. So I was like, I can't keep up with them.
Really?
And
I don't think I've had that issue, but maybe they. I don't know what the.
I don't know if it's just me.
What'd you play on? Did you play Devil. An Xbox controller?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I just always had the issue where they always did their forward smash so many times and, but.
Forward smash.
You know,
I don't remember like having that issue in previous games. Maybe I don't know if that's something that you just will grow out of. I don't know, but
like I had to train myself to like do like initiate with the forward slash and then like take my hand off the stick and then just press Y to do combos because if I kept trying to move around, they would just end up doing the forward.
Yeah,
thing at him.
For me, my if I ever had that issue. To avoid that issue, I would only ever use like the forward moves, like the dash moves, as like gap closers, and then like from there I would use like something to get closer. Like for example, like I would use Dante's Stinger from Rebellion to get closer, and then like if I wanted to close range further, I would switch to the gauntlets and I would do like that angled kick down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would always bring me right in front of the enemy. That's another thing. I love what they did with Dante's gauntlets.
Dante Dude. Is definitely the focus of weapons in this game. Well, as he always as he has should been. Be.
Yeah, and it's like because I've always had an issue with the CQC gauntlets and Greaves in previous games because I feel like they're always missing something that like that would make them a full experience. But now what they did with the gauntlets now is so cool, and they definitely feel like the best experience. So it's like you got like gauntlets and greaves, you know, arms and legs, and like what you do is that you switch between them depending on what you need to do. So like when you're going in, it's called heat up mode. So you go in and you just do these rapid jabs, and in the background you hear this demon counting to 10. When you hit the tenth one, you get this like fire armor. And then you can keep on like you know hitting punches and like do punch focused moves, or you can hit like a back and Y, and that switches to the greaves, which are these like slow powerful hits. But when you have the fire armor, everything's faster and does like probably like 5 times more damage.
Interesting.
And it looks really cool. It's very flashy.
You start break dancing with the greaves,
which is great for crowd control. Really cool move. I don't know. Everything's there. Even like throwbacks to previous moves. It's just everything's there. It's so good.
So overall,
it's great.
I would give it.
The music was great. Combat was great.
I would give it like a 9 to 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it a 9.
So I got two questions here.
Okay.
Real quick. Did you play all the other Devil May Cry games?
I have.
I played 4.
Okay. I guess for Zach, is this better than 4? And then for Mike, where does this lay in the pantheon of Devil May Cry games?
Okay, so. If I had to label them from like best to worst, and this might rub some DMC fans the wrong way, but for me it goes
2 is best.
No, you're saying that because I told you how 2 was the actual like disowned by Capcom game.
The only one I played. What a mistake!
Yeah,
I made.
But you didn't know it was a mistake until I told you. 5, 5, 4, 3, 1, 2.
Okay.
People argue, like, you know, story and pacing were better in, like, 3 than 4. Because, like, four was, like, half a game, which is unfortunate. Like, they managed to flesh out almost all the combat to be this really great game, but Capcom rushed them. And so, like, you play the first half as Nero up through, like, mission 10 or 11, and everything's pretty great. Everything's fresh and new. It feels like a great new game. But then after that, from there on out, you play as Dante, but you play the exact same locales, but backwards.
Oh, wow, okay.
And, like, the same bosses backwards. And it just feels like, it only feels like half an experience. Mm-hmm. Whereas, in Devil May Cry 5, I don't know what happened, but Capcom finally gave him the time to flesh out the whole world, and you never repeat bosses. Well, you do like, a small boss rush at one point, but it's for lore reasons. Mm. And it actually makes sense, and it's much more bearable.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like they did. I feel like they did a fantastic job with 5. Like, nice. Five was above and beyond what I had expectations for.
And it looked great too.
They knocked it out of the park so well that it's now your favorite of all of them.
Yes, easily.
I will say one thing though is that Trish looked weird.
The modeling looked weird in general.
Just her face.
I mean, I'll talk about it afterwards because spoilers. But yeah, so sometimes the modeling did look a little weird.
All the other characters look great.
But I think the reason why it looks weird is because they did body scans. They did facial scans for certain people. Hmm. Well, I shouldn't say certain. Like all the main characters had facial scans, and so like they look like too real of people. Like it's like a really weird, like uncanny valley kind of situation. Especially going from like Devil May Cry 3 and 4, which like they like just because of the limited technology, they kind of had like anime faces a little bit.
It's perfect chiseled faces.
But because of that, like Dante looks like Dante.
Yeah.
Nero looks a little bit different, but it looks like he's aged, because technically Devil May Cry 5 takes 10 years after 4.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell that Dante aged a bit too. He looks a little bit older.
He has the
little stubble going on there.
He's got some heavy stubble, yeah.
Nero looked really good. V just looked like the guy from Star Wars.
Yeah, whatever his name was.
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. He looks. Yeah. V looks. Nice. He looks dead on like Adam Driver.
He's got some succulent lips too, man.
And he's shirtless the entire time.
Now I really need to play this game.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. They didn't make Nero and Dante shirtless under their coats. Or at least Dante. But I guess it makes sense.
Dante's shirtless days are over. That was Devil May Cry 3 when he was a little teenager boy. And
I don't want to play this game anymore.
No, everyone's clothed except for V.
Okay, I'm back in.
Just so you can show off his cool Ash tattoos.
It seems cool, though. I mean, everything you just said seemed a little confusing for me, but gameplay-wise, I'm
no,
like,
the gameplay is great. It is so fun.
Ooh, what a treat that game is for gameplay. If you like character action games, it nails every. I'm in this internal debate whether or not I actually want. If I actually enjoyed Devil May Cry 5 over the two Bayonetta games.
Oh wow!
Which you know I hold very high praise for Bayonetta games.
That's same. Crazy.
I don't know. I'm playing through Bayonetta 1 again, so I'll see. And then I got to play through 2 again eventually. But yeah, I mean it was fun. I enjoyed it.
I think you might like some parts of it because like what I feel kind of held back. Some of the previous Devil May Cry games was they were sometimes they're a big fan of like the fixed camera angles nonsense.
Yeah, and they kind of screwed up everything.
Archaic times.
Yeah,
that doesn't exist anymore. Mm. In this game, they tried to adopt a lot of what they got from the God of War, where everything's kind of like behind the shoulder kind of perspective.
Oh, cool.
A lot.
Okay, and I do like that.
And that allowed them to make such a much grander world, and everything seemed much more cinematic because of it.
Yeah, that was the one thing that sucked with like hands with like Bayonetta 2 sometimes, and the older Devil May Cries were like you're fighting something, and then like a stairway gets in the way, and you just can't see what's going on, and you have to try and move the camera, and it just
the camera never really works as well as you want it to. I don't think I've had a single issue with it, not yet. I mean, I'm sure on my replay now that I have like more cool things to try and. We'll see, but
yeah, for the most part, that game is great. It was fun.
I'm a big fan of it.
All right, cool.
Deserves all the praise it gets.
All right. What else has been going on?
Nothing.
You took out another game on your list.
Yeah. Play, right? Once I finished Dying Light, I immediately dove into Wargroove.
That was my suggestion. So right now, so far, you've taken care of one suggestion from Zach and then mm-hmm. one from me, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool. Like, did you mean to like stagnate it like that, or
that was completely by accident? But now I kind of want to keep doing that just okay. to see what like the contrast of the mm-hmm. different games you've offered. But that was just a game that I'd been interested in, like. Right when it came out, right mm-hmm. when you put it on the list, but then I had Dying Light first, so I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna finish this, and then
we'll move on to Wargroove. Yeah. Okay,
so I moved on to it. That's that the turn-based strategy game, and completely in the vein of Advance Wars.
Yes,
and I'm loving it. It's really fun. I'm about halfway to 2/3 of the way through. It's just the whole overworld map, or
yeah,
classic story where you're just characters are fighting big bad evil, and they're moving across the world and. But the
you're not there for the story.
Yeah, the gameplay itself is really fun. Where I just love turn-based strategy games, or just any kind of strategy game I typically like. But the this type of game is really fun. Just the way it looks. There's a lot of I guess variety of the different characters, kind of like with Advance Wars, where there's so much you can react to or mm-hmm. try to take on as you. Like approach each individual map.
Right.
It's making me realize that I like the Fire Emblem style of turn-based games more, which then again, I only know Awakening, but right. I like the idea where at the end of a level, some of your characters that you were fighting with are going to be better for the next
exactly.
fight.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is always the same people and they don't really level. There's no progression and it's always nameless grunts that when you start the next map, you'll be making more nameless grunts and then so it's almost just like a turn-based RTS game.
Okay.
Where you have your base, you capture more buildings to get more income, and then every turn you create new units and you push them across the map. It's funny that I say there's a lot of variety, because there totally is, and there's a lot you have to react to, and the story definitely makes you have to react to things as it throws more problems at you and more obstacles to overcome. But I totally just spam like two strategies that have worked for me, because I know that they will get the job done. I just do spear spam, where I just use a spearman, where... Every unit has a critical hit, like
percentage or whatever.
Yeah, where when they're in a specific position, like relative to other units, enemy units, or like friendly units, or just where they are on the map, they will do a critical hit. Which if they first hit somebody, where they're at max health and max attack, they will usually one shot an enemy
mm-hmm.
when they crit. And so the spearman crits when it's next to other spearmen.
Oh,
so what like... I do, I can just make like six spearmen for six turns, and now there's a long line of spearmen where they're literally leapfrogging through the map, crit hitting everybody one step of the way along. And then the back line is just trebuchets. So the spearman is the second cheapest unit you can make, and the trebuchet is the most expensive unit you can make.
Okay.
So every other turn I'm making spearmen, trebuchet. So there's just a line of spearmen, wave of deathing across the map. Just one line of spearmen.
That's amazing.
Backed by trebuchets who are long distance, because their crit is if they hit someone at max distance, they're hitting you for like 200% damage.
Oh, wow.
And so I've just been melting levels just with this. I feel like I'm cheesing the game.
I feel
guilty about it.
Should.
There's a term for that where it's like thunder and lightning.
Yeah,
something like that.
I'm either blitzkrieging
the game,
or I'm Sturman dranging.
So it's
game.
like you have like your heavy armors up front with like with thunder, and then you have like the lightning from the trebuchets coming overhead.
But the campaign is neat because it doesn't always work, because there's a lot of aerial units that directly counter trebuchets and spearmen, so okay. it's not foolproof. But more often than not, I found myself relying
to get through the fodder though. Yeah,
but. The game is really fun. There's some issues with the UI I have problems with, but
sure.
like it was funny. The very first day I played it, I had a lot of issues with a certain aspect of the UI where a lot of stuff wasn't very clear. And the very next day, they released like a month one patch that was fixed all those UI problems.
Perfect.
So I'm like, okay, so those don't exist anymore.
That just bumps up my complaint or my score of it for a bit.
So they're really active with the game and making sure everything is what people want, and how, like, if someone complains like, this is pretty unclear, could you fix this, they add it like a couple weeks later. It's really neat. And it's a really fun game.
That's what's cool about like a game that is literally born from the idea of wanting to like fill like a fan base's desire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially from an indie company, like, they don't have any shareholders to, like, be silent towards. Like, the game's like, sorry, we can't tell you what we're doing because we have to make sure our shareholders' interests are better kept or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, nope, we're here. Like,
you paid for our product, and maybe we can get more people to... It's like direct conversation, right?
Yeah,
which is cool. We just want to make you happy, and then we can make other people happy, and then buy our game, and maybe future games, which I'm totally down to see what else these people can come up with, because this game is really fun. One last thing. The world editing and the level editing is amazing in this game.
I thought you'd like that a lot.
I really want to experiment with a lot of it. I'm probably not going to make very balanced maps because I don't really understand the map balancing well enough yet.
The map theory.
Yeah, truly. But there's so much variety and so much freedom that you can make with each map. Mm-hmm. You can even make an overworld map, and you can make little cutscenes that trigger wherever you are.
Yeah,
on the map.
I saw that.
And kind of funny. Apparently someone's working on completely recreating the entire campaign from Advance Wars.
I believe it.
Like, they've done the overworld, and now they're...
Tile for tile.
Yeah, now they're meticulously going and making each individual... They've already made every map, and now they're just making the triggers and the units that will be in the map. And
that's really cool. That's
amazing. So, it's a fun game. I'm happy with it. Thank you guys for offering me to play great games.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of it, is, like, we're playing games that, like, we normally wouldn't convince ourselves to play.
Yeah.
But now we're, like... Now that we have the push to go into these games.
Yeah, because Wargroove, I didn't even know that game existed until you told me to play it.
Yeah, me either. So. Or Iconoclast. Or Hitman.
Cool. Well, you know what Hitman, I feel, but...
Or Halo.
Halo or Master, Halo. Master,
never heard of it.
Master Spief Collection.
Bless you.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I played some other games I guess I can talk about real quick. I don't know if there are other games you guys wanted to mention, so I don't just steal the end of this episode.
I mean, it's kind of hard for me to talk about. Like, my PC died a very horrible death within the time since we last played, since we last talked. So it's like a lot of my efforts have been going into either re-downloading or reconfiguring all the games I played. Like,
damn.
When my PC died and we finally got it back up into the running state that it is now, I lost all of my options and preferences and configurations for Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh no!
Which I put a lot of time.
I've
been rebuilding and making that magic work again.
That hurts me.
So like all of my hotbars gone. All of my macros are gone.
Oh my god!
So that's been fun.
Because that's progressive as you play, and now it's all gone. It's all and gone. You need to put it all back.
And I have to put it all back by memory.
That sucks, man.
It's been a lot of like finding like all the guides that I found originally and then trying to remember what exactly I did. But anyways, in better news, talk about the games you've been playing that we haven't been.
One game that I played at the beginning of the year, which I've been meaning to play for a bit, but because I was really curious about it, it's the puzzle game Catherine, which came out on PS3 like around 2011.
And then started coming out a bunch of ports later on in its life, much later on.
Yeah, just like a couple months ago, they put it on PC. And then I think they're making a remake for PS4.
Sounds about right.
It's already out in Japan, but it's not out in North America yet. That'll be, I think, in like August or something.
Sure.
So I decided to pick it up because I saw, again, another game that I was interested in because of a speedrun. I saw someone speedrunning, and I'm like, this looks like a cool puzzle game. So I tried it out, and it is a very good puzzle game. The puzzles in it are cool. For people who don't know, it's just like... You maneuver in 3D space where it's kind of like Q-Bert.
Sexy Q-Bert.
Where you move up a cube and you move cubes to climb higher on this wall of cubes. It's a stairway of cubes. And there's a lot of like traps and stuff that you run into. Sometimes you're being chased by a monster. And it's all time-based. Even when there's not the monster, the bottom levels of the wall of the drop pyramid. Away. Yeah. So you do need to keep going.
I'm sorry, I just can't get over Sexy Q-Bert.
Sexy Q-Bert.
True.
And the puzzles are really cool. It's really mind-bending, and you have to like really just sit and like think like, how do I move this cube? And then you have to like think ahead a lot of steps, and it's really fun. I was originally afraid I was going to be turned off by the whole like heavy anime thing where it just seems like a dating sim anime style thing, which I actually found really charming and kind of funny. Like it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah.
And so I was into the story for a bit until it got a little too crazy for me and it got too long. Like I hit exactly what we were talking about earlier where it's like I hit a natural ending to a game where I'm like, this would be perfect for the game to end. And then it kept going and I'm like, I don't want to play anymore. Because now the story's too dumb. Okay. Where the puzzles aren't fun anymore. Because now when I finish the puzzle, I'm like, now I got
to
go
subject to more story that you don't want.
Yeah, because the game was doing really well where the cutscenes are only like a minute long each time. And then there's some sequences where you have to like talk to people, but you don't have to. You can just go back to the puzzles, and then that takes maybe like 5 minutes. But then the cutscenes started getting longer and longer, and then I watched a cutscene that was actually like 25 minutes long.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, Jesus. What? You just wanted to play a puzzle.
You just watched an episode of an anime. And you're against your will.
Why did this happen? Yeah, it was, I don't know. It got a little too rough, so I haven't finished
the game. I can rightfully call you a weeb now.
Weeb.
Do what you want, I've already.
I've already lost.
I've already lost this game. But I haven't finished the game. I'm going to try eventually, too, I'm just going to skip everything and play it. Because the puzzles are great, and I played it for the puzzles. And even though the story was fun, it just got a little too weird towards the end. But it's a cool game, and I'm interested to see, because apparently they're adding a whole other layer to the
remake on PS4. It's basically like Catherine 1.5, from what I can tell.
Wonder what they're going to do with it. But the voice acting, I have to say, is also really good. Like, that was something
normally what you don't get out of an anime game.
No, but it was funny. It's a funny game. The voice acting is really funny, and it feels really natural. And cool game. Sexy Cubert, out on PC.
It's sexy. And QB.
Wow. Another game. Now I'm just bringing everything down because these two games I'm just complaining about. But
here we go.
What the hell is new?
This conversation might have already happened in a past episode, but I can't remember, so forgive me. But
the rage is so thick, you can't remember.
I'm a huge StarCraft fan, and I've played through the first two renditions of StarCraft 2, or whatever you would call them. Wings of Liberty was the first one, because for some reason they released it piecemeal, which was really weird. Like I'm paying $60 for a campaign of one of the races of StarCraft, which in the original game, all the races and campaigns were in the game, so you only paid once. Anyway, Wings of Liberty came out, and I'm like, I'm not paying $60 for that.
Nice try, though.
And then I bought it for $20, and then I bought Heart of the Swarm, which was the Zerg campaign, for $20, and now I picked up Legacy of the Void for $20. So I've come full circle. I've basically paid full price for the actual what I think the game should be worth. So now I'm playing Legacy of the Void, the finale to the StarCraft II story.
Legacy of the Void, is that like the Protoss campaign?
It's the Protoss. And I love StarCraft II as a game. It's one of the last great RTS games and probably ever, because RTS is dead.
Dead genre.
MOBAs have consumed that audience. But StarCraft II is great. The story is so disappointing, and that's why I'm talking about this, because StarCraft I in 1998, or whenever that game came out, was such a surprise for me because I had never played an RTS before, and it was really fun and it was really hard, and it like made my brain work in different ways because I'm like, wow, I have to like think fast and build bases and try to think about counters and stuff. But the story in the campaign, which is why I picked up Legacy of the Void, the story in the campaign, the original game, is really good and really nuanced, and like they go against the trope of like, here's just big bad guy, everyone's fighting against it. Like, you're playing as the three races of StarCraft, and every race has evil people. Everyone's morally gray in like a style of science fiction that doesn't really hit a lot of video games, because video games really like just the big bombastic stories.
Right. Here's your good guy, here's your bad guy, and there's no in between.
StarCraft 1 was like, everyone is good, everyone's bad. The villains win, but the bad guy or the good guys are also doing really bad things, and it's really like, bittersweet at the end, because like at the end a lot of the good guys die, and it's just like I'd never seen a story like that. And then they did the whole Cowboys in Space before Firefly did,
right?
Which I was hilarious, because when I started watching Firefly, I'm like, this is just like StarCraft.
It's Jim Rayner.
Yeah. And then StarCraft 2 came out like 20 years later, or however long that was, and they completely undid everything that StarCraft 1 did, where now Jim Rayner is not just like a schlubby guy that was thrust into like having to fight for his home, but also having to do a lot of really shitty stuff because the person he's following is an evil man. Now he's just like, he's fighting for the woman he loves, and he's fighting the big bad guys, and he has like huge arms and like the classic Blizzard mentality of like, now everyone has huge pauldrons, everyone is jacked.
Space Marine.
Everyone is Space Jesus Thrall from like, everyone has to be just the greatest like rendition of a hero ever, like, right, in Warcraft. You're Anduin, or you're Thrall, or everybody, right? And it just feels so disappointing because of what their original writing process was, or their writing style, was so much better. And so Legacy of the Void is not any better. It's just like they've just turned all these characters that were interesting into just
tropes.
Like, tropes. They turned into sci-fi tropes. And now the main villain of this final part of the trilogy, I guess, of StarCraft 2 is just like big, bad, evil guy wants to kill the universe and everyone teams up and fights him. What a great story. So it's really cringy and just unfortunate, because I'm like, oh, really? They're doing this?
Very modern Blizzard.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's falling into the course for, like, what we're all seeing with Blizzard, right? Where, I mean, this game is, like, 2 or 3 years old now, but...
Right.
It just feels like they never really cared about what they had in the past with certain games. They were mostly interested in maintaining the status quo of, like, online multiplayer StarCraft, but when it came to the story, they just... It feels like they just gave it a short shrift. Like, they didn't even really know what the past was for them, and they just got new guys to just write some story that...
Didn't care too much about it.
It's passable, so...
I don't know. Because it really makes me wonder, like one of the things you said earlier was, like, you know, like, MOBAs consume the audience of the RTS players.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of, it made me think, I was like, well, you know, like, what if League of Legends had, like, a story mode? Like, because like, they have all these, like, vaguely interesting characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what if they actually fleshed them out instead of, like, okay, here's your character, they have X personality, now go fight. Go fight other people. And it's like, you know, why bother making characters, like, why bother making likable characters if you're going to sit there and do nothing with them?
Right. Yeah, and that's why Heroes of the Storm was so interesting, because right, all those characters were already fleshed out.
Exactly. They had these already likable characters, yeah.
And, I mean, I could see, like, Dota or League make, like, something with their characters, because they seem interesting enough where they're memorable, because that's all they had to do. They had to make them just memorable enough that they stand out from other people.
Exactly.
But... if they wanted to, I assume they could just make a story because they seem interesting. But
yeah, why make these characters and give them so much personality if you're just going to do nothing with them?
Yeah,
makes me sad.
And that's even more sad with Heroes of the Storm, because now that game is just abandoned.
Yeah,
more or less.
Yeah,
which I don't think we've talked about on here, but that
not directly
they've completely dropped that game.
I mean,
but well, like, sort of. It still exists, say, but they will never.
They're still doing like fixes and stuff, but like.
You're on, like, a standstill when it comes to new content, so it might as well just not really be there.
They recently added someone, but, like, no one really cared about it. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who it was, but...
I don't know.
Have you played it at all since the whole...
No, I'm too sad because of it, because I know that now the audience is... Like, wait times were already starting to get a little long, and now if people are just going to be dropping it, it's just going to get longer. And it feels bad, because that was, like, my go-to comfort game, where, like, if I... Apart from, like, Binding of Isaac, like, if I just want to sit down and, like, spend 20 minutes in a game, I could just go to Heroes and play a game, or I usually have fun with it, and now it just doesn't feel right, because I know, like...
There's no love.
Yeah, I'm not, like, building myself towards anything anymore, because this game is just going to go away eventually. Like, it doesn't have an end game.
Yeah.
Well, before, it was just, like, open-ended, like, I can't wait to see where the game goes now.
Right,
because now I know it's nowhere.
Right, it feels like it's just, like, wasted effort.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Wow, what a downer.
Yeah.
What a way to end this podcast.
Thanks, Blizzard.
But I have to say, the gameplay of Legacy of the Void is very good.
The
missions are fun. They do make the missions fun. It's just the story around it, which was... I only bring that up because it doesn't really matter in the terms of the game, the big picture.
Right.
I just bring it up because the first StarCraft was such an interesting story.
For sure.
So.
Wah-wah.
Oh, well.
It certainly was the harbinger of the way Blizzard is really treating its games.
Yeah.
Now I can lay it to rest, at least. Now I'm done with StarCraft 2 once I finish this. So,
long. Goodbye.
Farewell.
Good night, sweet prince.
Good night, my sweet prince.
All right. I guess that's it.
That's it for now.
I'm sorry I brought everyone down.
I mean, now the thing is, like, now that I've beaten Devil May Cry and now that I don't feel the need to be, like, constantly playing it, like, I'm gonna be a bit more casual on my, like, secondary playthroughs. I just want to, like, start getting, like, you know, getting enough currency so I can, like, finish out my skill, acquirements. I don't know. I want to have all the skills so I have a fully fleshed out character to play with. Because on April 1st, I think they said, is when Bloody Palace comes in.
Oh, nice.
But, for those who don't know, Bloody Palace is like the game's like floor by floor, like fight waves of enemies kind of thing.
Hmm.
So it's like there's typically 100 floors, And you just go down like one by one, clearing out the enemies. But you're also on a timer.
Oh, nice! So just like a challenge mode.
It's a challenge to clear them out as fast as you can. But the thing is, you want to do a mix between as fast but as stylish as you can, because like the higher your style meter goes, when you clear the floor, you get more time back off the timer.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to that because that's gonna be fun.
What else is coming in the future? I'm still waiting for the two games I've been waiting for a long time.
Yes.
I know once I finish Wargroove, I keep saying this, I'm diving back into Bloodborne.
Right.
And I'm ready to hate myself for some time. I did actually play a little bit of it yesterday.
Did you just to get back into the throes of it?
Yeah, and I feel like I'm approaching it in a different mindset now, where now I'm like less being frustrated. It's still incredibly frustrating, and I'm still on the streets of Yharnam because I'm trash.
Which I mean, that's where you're gonna spend some time. Like I'm like, but like but like that, that's everything. That's where you're going to earn your licks. Like,
is that just supposed to be like a trial by fire, where you're kind just of, like, yeah, here, we're much, gonna throw you in and good
that's
luck.
That's pretty much all.
If you
Dark
can get
Souls
past
games.
This, you'll be good for the rest of the game.
More or less, yeah.
Wow.
it's just like, here you go, have fun, I guess, and then. It just gets harder from there.
I did make a new person.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Now, I forgot what we even called the goofball we made like a year,
it was
2 years
so long ago. I just remember his face.
But I made a new person, and I picked up the cane on a whim because I knew I picked up
cane.
The axe.
Okay.
And I love that cane.
Do you? Because
I didn't know it turns into a whip.
Yeah. The trick cane starts off kind of like, because like it scales with dexterity.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, like the first part is kind of like acts like a, it's almost like a short sword.
Yeah.
But yeah, then it trick attacks into like a chain whip.
And I like being away from, or far ish as I can from all the enemies. So I feel like that's actually helping my play style a little more.
Okay,
so
fair
maybe this will be a little easier
for
me.
Yeah, I think I had you pick the hunter's axe.
Right.
Which, because that one turns into a longer pole axe mm-hmm. on this trick, but it is slower. And can kind of get stuck on something. So maybe I can see why the threaded cane would be better for you.
And I think I just think it looks hilarious, where it just turns into a jagged whip.
Just wait till you get the
I feel like I'm in Castlevania.
The hammer.
Oh yeah, well I didn't want to spoil anything for you, but yeah, you get like a trick hammer. Ooh. Where it's like at first it's a sword, and then like you stick it under this giant hammer on your back and you just turn into a giant warhammer and swing it over your head.
Yeah, I'm excited to play this game. So just want to bring that up because that'll be my next endeavor for who knows how long. Time me now, because from now until whenever I'm going to be playing this game, and I'll see you guys again in like November when I finally beat the first boss. And
thing is though, like once you do first beat the first boss, like that's when you're in. That's when you're like, I want to move on to the next challenge because like it's going to feel so good.
Yeah. All right. I don't know what else there is. I mean, Pokemon eventually on the future. We'll definitely have another episode soon progress.
They'll release more stuff
to look
on
forward to. And I think not like because it won't take me very long to fill out the skills for my DMC characters. Once I have that accomplished, I feel like I'm gonna start working on my list a little bit. I wonder what I should start with. I had it up for a bit.
I don't know.
Because, when I leave here today, I'm leaving with God of War and Horizon.
I would say, I mean, they're probably not very similar, but if you like the fighting style of Demon
Crisis,
maybe
God of War
right
would be
God
the
War.
Next obvious choice.
Yeah.
Might
be a little too jarring, because I don't know if they're close or not. You know, you've played both.
God of War is a little bit slower, but God of War is more like...
More beat-em-up rather than like...
No, like God of War is more like you use like tactical strategy stuff more, and then Devil May Cry is more just like you just go
get in there,
and just
do combos,
whack,
and
just, just whack everything. Whereas God of War, it's like
a little bit more dodging, a little more sidestep, block a couple times.
Yeah, there's more like strategy to fighting things, I guess, for some things.
And you're constantly changing everything up, which might be how it is in Devil May Cry. I don't know.
Devil May Cry like does have a lot of emphasis on dodging, mostly in the boss fights, like in the trash fights leading up to it. It's more about like just like going wild with combos. There are some things you have to like learn how to dodge and when to disengage, but
yeah, the main thing is Devil May Cry is like just dodging, whereas God of War is more like parrying.
Yeah, I feel like God of War had more of like emphasis on like blocking and like timing, rather than whereas like Devil May Cry is all dodging. There's no there's parrying, but like it's much more reliable to dodge most of the time.
All right, well, maybe that one. I don't know. we'll check in. We'll see how you're doing in the future.
We'll see.
But I guess that'll be it for this. Just wanted to get some thoughts out there about video games. And all right, so I guess that's it for this episode. Very cool.
Very cool, guys.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to us talk about games for a bit. And we'll see you soon.
Soonish.
Soon? Who knows how regular we do this?
I don't think any of us have major plans. Maybe like we'll see what announcements, what accomplishments we make. Yeah.
We'll see where we are.
We'll burn through some games and we'll make an episode of that.
Yeah. Once something interesting happens, we start throwing up the schlub signal.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
All have to call or answer the call eventually. So, all right. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you later.
See ya.